There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
When the VHS-DVD combo came out, I think fathers were like, technology is done.
This is all I need. I just need a chair that can blow me.
Should we start her up?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks. We got Henry over here, too.
I hope that our listeners by this point are not only covered in pussy juice, but literally have too much cash that they can't even spend it after listening to last week's episode about chaos magic.
That's right. So you want them to treat it like Brewster's Millions.
That's all chaos magic is for. You become Brewster. You spend all the money within a year because the universe has a funny sense of humor. Because if not, you turn into a fucking alligator. Or you open some portal to a mischief god.
This is Chaos Magic Part 2. I mean, you thought we were in the muck in the first one. This is really going to get intense.
Yeah, this one right here is when we're really going to get into the nuts and bolts of chaos magic. The first episode was more of the basics. This is when we get into the stuff that really shows you, I guess, the inner workings of chaos magic.
And I would also say that this is the stuff that is the most difficult to understand, the stuff that would probably, it literally is a lifetime journey towards understanding, mm-hmm. Which is we're going to attempt to explain it now on about a year of solid research, and it's still a lot of garbage.
All right. I'm ready to be educated.
Yes. All right. So let's start with fractals. Now, in order to understand chaos magic...
Good Lord, I can already feel it.
I know, I actually...
This whole episode's a nerd alert. This whole episode is...
I know. When you said fractals, I immediately was just like, can I just go to the bathroom? I have to skip this class.
This is such... I started talking about chaos magic, it feels so much like the wallet chain version of The Secret.
That's very, very true.
Yeah, but still, in order to understand chaos magic, you got to understand fractals.
Have to understand fractals.
You really do. A fractal is, according to the Fractal Foundation,
we have to get through it.
A never-ending pattern that repeats itself on different scales. We see fractals all the time in nature. For example, a tree branch, a lightning bolt, river networks, and blood vessels all have pretty much the same pattern while having vastly different purposes.
Mm. Now, what you're saying right then is something that is very difficult to even understand. This is how I got it in my head, right? Is that, oh, fuck. Like a shell, like, you know, like they have like the image of a conch shell, mm-hmm. is that spiral.
Yeah.
Right. If you go deeper inside the pattern of the spiral stays the same as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, right?
Yeah.
Is that the pattern within it is exactly the same. A fractal, the concept is that the big picture is exactly the same as the microscopic picture, which is like the way they compare it a lot of times, which I hear. It's one of those, Marcus. I know you're making the face, but it's like that. It's how they say, like, one theory is that they believe that if you map the actual shape of the universe, it may be very similar to the shape of the human brain. Literally looks like a dented oval, right? Mm-hmm. And so that idea is that the universe is the size of the human brain. It's the shape of the human brain. It's a fractal of the human brain. And that's the guy, if you can change your mind, you can change the universe.
And the universe played football, and now it has a terrible concussion problem, and it's going to kill itself.
Yeah, so, and fractals, by the way, they're not just seen in nature, they're also seen in math, and they're also seen in art, but I don't really, I'm too dumb to really explain all that stuff, so just take it from the Fractal Foundation when they say fractals are smart, science, math, and art.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it does. No. See,
it does.
No,
science,
math,
yeah,
and art. Smart.
But it should be technically science, math, art.
No, that works for me. That's a rhyme, and that works.
Doesn't it work?
It does.
Fractals are smart, science, math, and art.
Boom. I love fractals.
Does it explain what fractals are?
No. At the same time. No, Henry, are you not? They are smart.
Science, math, and art.
There is a mathematician right now who's literally pulling his car off the parkway, like through the embankment into the street. We're going to have scientists blow their brains out.
With any luck, my car will slowly sink into this river.
Now, one of the ways in which chaos magic is fractal is that while we may use different gods, different belief systems, and different magical systems, all of it is essentially connected. And when you look at it closely enough, it's all essentially the same. We're just just using it in different ways. Fractals could even be applied to like the collective unconsciousness. Like throughout history, you see like different societies on different continents in different climates developing extremely similar building structures and belief systems despite having no contact with each other whatsoever.
Now, can we also say that a fractal, a conceptual fractal, is sort of how social networks and the internet is a model based upon what is essentially the collective unconsciousness?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I mean, no, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. At the end of the day, no one is a unique butterfly. The only reason that anything functions is because we all have one, there are universal truths that we can tap into.
Yeah.
Everybody runs on Duncan.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
You literally cannot have a pile of fireworks just left unattended. You have to blow them up.
Absolutely.
That's a part of it.
Thing is about fractals, in order to see them, you got to have a broad perspective. If you're only looking at these things on a minuscule level, then you'll miss the overall pattern. You can't see that a lightning bolt and a blood vessel are similar if you're looking at them on a molecular level only. But if you pull back your focus and open your mind,
open your fucking mind, you idiot. Fucking get with the flow. Oh, my God. I'm getting so frustrated with you.
You can see the similarities between the two things, between the lightning bolt and the blood vessel. Mm-hmm. You can see the shape similarities.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. If you look at videos or images of people who got struck by lightning, you see the vein structure that happens.
Exactly. The vein structure. Yeah. And it's the exact same thing. That's a great example of a fractal.
Thank you, Marcus.
Sort of also like, thank you. Great. Good work. Is it all sort of like if you use lipstick to put lips on a butthole? Is that a fractal of a mouth?
I think that that is. I'm going to take this one, Marcus. Yeah, yes, it is, Henry.
Somebody needs some CPR. I got to go down there and take a look at it.
Sir, please, you are wasting 911's time.
I thought it was just lipstick on a butthole, but then he put googly eyes on it, and I married it.
You have to think. When you see those two shapes, and you see the broad shape, like when you really see all of this shit, like, for example, what Henry was saying about the universe and the human brain. If you work your way in, you can see that on a molecular level, everything is essentially the same from the universe as a whole right down to the electricity popping away in your brain. All of this stuff is connected. All of this is essentially the same. So therefore, if you change your mind, as Henry said, if you change your mind, you can change the universe. But it's very important here because I know there's some science and math nerds and geeks out there that are screaming about how we're misunderstanding fractals completely.
We definitely are.
We absolutely are. Like, we're completely. And what I say is don't confuse the map for the territory.
Now, we did not really explain that in the first episode. The map not being the territory is an essential quality of chaos magic that you have to understand in order to move different rituals. What we were talking about before with models, right, and about you adopting beliefs in order for certain rituals, in order to do certain things magically. What Hein says and what Robert Anton Wilson talks about all the time is that the map is not the territory. Is that if you like the way an example Robert Anton Wilson does is he said the mind isn't a computer, right? Like you could talk about like there's like Aristotle, I forget the fucking philosophy, where there's no such thing as is, right? The mind is not a computer. You can describe the mind using a map that is an example of a computer, but it is not a computer. But you can find a way to understand it by putting a map on top of it, which is why we talk about the universe being like the mind. It's not that the mind is the fucking universe, is that if you can just understand that this is a way to, it's a tool for understanding something about the universe in a way that you can grasp, then you can get power over it.
Yeah, it's an abstract way of thinking. If you're trying to think about this type of stuff in literal terms, if you think that, okay, chaos magic, when we say like fractals, you think we're talking about like literally fractals. We're not. We're just using these things as examples. It's a way for us to understand this shit in order to tap in to the larger power that is the universe.
And that you were saying, it's a model. It's an example of interconnectedness.
Yeah, exactly. What are you thinking, Ben?
Well, I'm just thinking about, first of all, Dunkin' Donuts, as Henry triggered that. But I was thinking about the map is not the territory. So you're saying you're not a world traveler if you look at a map and you circle Iraq. You didn't actually go there.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you have to go there and explore the environment. So the map is just, I mean, a lot of Yes. So I think I understand that.
Yeah.
Years of explanation. This is, takes years to understand. I just started really kind of grasping the tiny edges of it, of just being like, okay, it's just like, it, but this is not the map, not the territory. But that's another way to get kicked out of a bus station is the constant reminding yourself.
It kind of reminds me of what happens now with virtual reality. It's still, that's still the map. That's not the actual territory. So there is something sort of generic and unfulfilling about it.
Mm-hmm. Another day in long fat man history.
Boom.
Stand.
Is that lipstick on your butthole? God damn it, you've tricked me again.
Want to see it whistle? Sometimes it makes some chocolate.
I do want to see it whistle.
So another huge thing, another huge, I guess, principle of chaos magic that we have to talk about, that we talked about, we touched just a little bit in the first episode, is the old saying from Hassan E. Sabah, nothing is true, everything is permitted.
You know, Hassan E. Sabah was probably born like Bill Meyerson in Indiana.
Yeah, nothing really comes out, across as really prophetic if your name is Bill Meyerson. you got to change it.
No, nothing is true, everything is permitted took me a very long time to understand. It was something that I could never really wrap my brain around, but I think maybe I've got some understanding of it. What I think it means, what that means, is that if nothing is true, then you are free to choose whatever beliefs you want to choose without the burden of proof.
All it has to be is true to you in a specific concept and then thrown away.
Yeah.
That is what it's supposed to be in ritual. You're supposed to believe that Horus is a god for a specific ritual. Adopt an Egyptian thing where you want to connect to something. Like, let's say you want to get a deal on a trip to Egypt. And you're talking to Horus about, like, please let me find some cheap airline tickets. And you use, you envision him and stuff like that. And then the next day, if you don't need Horus anymore, you don't have to believe that any of that's real, that Horus is not real.
I knew they used me for my travel plans. Those bastards, as soon as I get them to Egypt, they stop speaking to me.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then we're talking about, but in the moment, because you believe it's true, then you made Horus real in that period of time because you've called it forth. Now you're using Horus as what is technically what is called a servitor, who is like an otherworldly service person that's going to help you out. He's like the Indian guy that you call on the fucking the call center. He's like that guy, but he's magical. But that guy's got a whole life that now you got to deal with. You brought Horus into this situation, but now you got to deal with Horus's baggage as a part of your request.
I'm not sure if the guy in New Delhi that I talk to when I'm speaking with Sprint isn't magical. I kind of think that he is. And it comes down to like different truths and different realities, right?
Absolutely.
So like, my truths and realities are different than yours. I mean, I believe that all ceilings are too low. And most people don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, flip
I mean,
it and reverse it. That's how you Missy Elliott your reality, is that you just say that everybody else is too short and then the seats are too small.
Yeah.
You're normal.
Right. Why do they come at me with pitchforks?
Like, for example, conceptually, if you're talking about like reality-wise, like I have a deeply held belief in the collective unconsciousness of humanity. That can never be proven. A lot of people look down on me for that. They think I'm dumb for believing it. But if I believe...
Who is calling you dumb, Marcus?
I think
assholes on the internet.
Oh,
if
who cares?
If some shithead ever said that dog meat's dumb, I will pull him out into the street and I'll curb him like a dog.
Oh, my God. I would love to watch you curb someone.
But if I believe, as far as the collective unconscious goes, if I believe that nothing is true, then I'm free to tell those people to fuck off and use that belief for my own purposes. However, if I decide to use a ritual that requires me to not believe in the collective unconscious, like, for example, if I need to do a ritual that requires extreme isolation from humanity, if I have to believe that we're all alone in this universe,
or if you have to believe that, that you are the only person that exists.
Yeah, or if you have to, then I got to set aside my belief of the collective unconsciousness until I need it again. You get it?
I love it, and that's, you know, where that's where you really get into your radio heads.
Yeah.
And Ben Folds 5, I listen to a lot of Ben Folds 5, and I like that song One Angry Dwarf, even though I'm really big, but I was bullied too, and I'm going to have revenge.
I know. You're already getting it slowly but surely by getting onto television.
Yes.
But that's what we were talking about. The deconditioning exercises are so important about chaos magic, because the idea is eventually you're not supposed to believe in anything. You're not supposed to have it. It's only supposed to be what works for these contexts right now.
Yeah, if you're free to choose anything, if you're free to believe anything, then it follows that anything is possible, i.e., everything is permitted. If there is no purpose, if there is no plan, then there is only what we choose to believe rather than what we are told to believe.
Is there
and then it's true.
Yeah, is it possible to have like a negative side effect though? Like a lot of people who are like, I'm a Buddhist, it's just like, no, you're not getting off the couch for 3 months. Like I think you're
yes,
extremely
that's
depressed.
That Buddhism. Yeah, there's a lot of problems all the time. And that's why a part of chaos magic is really important is discipline and checking in with yourself and understand and not getting magic-itis that we talked about, where you start to believe that you're fucking Merlin,
right,
even though you're just hanging out in your room and stuck in sweaty shorts playing with tarot cards.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
Yeah, this whole thing, it's not about God waiting for God to answer your prayers, and it isn't about being passive. It's about being proactive and making things happen for yourself mm-hmm. on a metaphysical level, and that's the thing. I think that metaphysically, there's no difference between saying a prayer and performing a magic ritual. Both of them are petitioning an extra-normal power for a request, and results from both can be attributed to either belief that something actually happened, or that it was all a coincidence, or most likely that just the sheer act of focus helped you to get through whatever it is that you're trying to get through. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Mm. None of it matters. All that matters is that it works for you. And once you accept that, then you're well on your way to becoming a full-fledged chaos magician.
Ooh, cool.
And once you start practicing chaos magic, it's a good idea to choose what magical system that you think would work best for your specific ritual. Because remember, this is not a permanent thing. You aren't locked into any of this.
Mm. I love it. It's like a lease as opposed to buy-in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is like a lease. It's a magical lease. And again, remember, chaos magic, the whole point of like, it's not the same as right-hand path or left-hand magic, where you can't really teach too many like specific dogmas from the very beginning. This is about you practicing it. It's all, chaos magic is all about what you do for it. Mm-hmm. It's not about like the books you read. It's like you can read as much as you want about rituals, but each one of them just says, well, and then you got to make it up from there. Now you make it up. Here's kind of a thing, but now you got to go make it up.
I mean, it is kind of one of those bizarre things where it's like, coincidences, are they coincidence or did you will yourself to be put in those positions? I was talking with people last night for some reason after the live last podcast show here at the Creek, and thank you so much for everyone who came out. It was so fun.
Totally.
They kept on asking, how did we meet? And I had to go way back and had to go through this whole story. And it's really, it doesn't seem like a coincidence in hindsight.
Yeah.
It just seems like it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that sort of plays into this whole idea.
Possibly. I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because it worked out the way it did. It's sort of like the moon is up there, even though there are a lot of people that are really upset about it.
Yeah, it's not up there.
Yeah,
if it was up there, we wouldn't see it. You know?
Absolutely.
No, what this is all about is changing your belief system in accordance with the ritual. It's not about building a permanent belief system, because if you have a permanent belief system, then you will immediately reject anything that doesn't fit in with said belief system, and the whole goddamn thing falls apart. Something I discovered very recently. Long story short, I had a chamber, now I got a mind horse.
Listen, we're not your girlfriend. You can't flirt with us.
Yeah, it doesn't. Right? Was that flirting? Was Marcus trying to flirt there, Henry?
That is his flirting.
Wow.
I've seen it. Yeah. Him and his girlfriend gnash their teeth at each other, and then they throw bones at each other, and then they just start fucking in front of everybody.
Oh, I see. Well, that's when you know dinner's served.
Me and Pickle Girlfriend have a very special relationship.
That's very
She's
good.
Really into this shit. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We're working on some stuff. But, yeah, Mind Horse. That's what I got now. Like, it's I had to, because the belief system that I kind of had before, the kind of ritual that I was doing before on a regular basis to kind of get my mind right, it didn't work, because I would try going to that place that I've been going to, that ritual that I would use to go to that place to visit my keepers. What's at the silent gates of my memory. I would
also
try
known
going
as
there.
The crystal castle,
right,
within your mind.
Exactly. Yeah. It was my crystal castle. But I've been having some shit going on recently. I've been having some bad times. And then eventually, like, I kept trying to go there. And then when I tried going there, I found that everyone in it had been murdered, that it was burning down. And then eventually it was just darkness. It was just blackness. And so that belief system didn't work anymore.
That doesn't work. Oh, it sounds like a perfect place to hang out.
No, yes. It's the worst. It's just darkness and demons.
Yeah.
Like, it's awful.
Okay.
See, in my mind, I get carried everywhere by mind parakeets. thousands of them.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that that chamber was something, because that belief system that I had at the time, that was for me to get my mind right and for me to kind of get shit organized. But now life is more of a journey for me. That's what's going on with me right now. I'm on more of a journey. I'm going to new places that I've never been before. So I need a mind horse.
You need stinky mind horse.
Yeah, I need a big stinky mind horse to keep me going through all of this bullshit. So I can now I use kind of the same type of ritual, but now instead of visiting the chamber, I go and me and my mind horse explore together.
All right, well, check out the chamber every now and again, see how the demons are doing. They get lonely too.
Oh no, they follow me over.
Oh, they
no,
did.
Oh, no matter where I go, nah, they're not going anywhere. They're just, you know, in my head forever, and that's just how it's gonna go. And
go to the doctor. Get your meds checked out.
I did. I went last Wednesday.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah.
And that's where the mind horse came from, is that it was just big. Remember those horse pills? The big, thick pills.
Yes.
Today's sponsor for Last Podcast on the Left is BlueApron.com. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. That's right, they give you all the ingredients, they give you the recipe, and you have the satisfaction of making a home-cooked meal all on your own. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/LEFT. They got gnocchi, they got fresh mozzarella, they got pork tacos, they got vegetable pizza, and every single month they got a new menu. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/LEFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that all these belief systems can be conceptualized by magical models. As far as what a magical model is...
This is the idiom that Marcus and I talked about. We had a long time. There's different things. Is it costumes? Because I said costumes. It's actually more like hats.
Yeah.
It's a hat?
Yeah.
It's like funny glasses.
Hold on. Can we back up a little bit? Just treat me like I'm a normal person.
Yeah.
What the hell?
No, hats.
It's a hat. Right,
yeah, well, think about the idiom. Yeah, I wear a lot of hats.
Explain what an idiom is.
A saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a thing that's a lot of times can turn out to be racist deep within its definition.
So
guy wears a hat. So the term is a guy's wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah.
It's not just some guy. It's not just some guy who's addicted to hats. Or it's not a guy with a big head. He's just got a lot of different rules in his life.
Who's wearing the hat?
You are. Like,
I have a hat.
For example. Yeah, Ben, you got some hats.
What kind of hat? Is it a Cubs hat? What kind of hat?
If you acted as a cop in part of your life, like John Wayne Gacy, in order to kill a bunch of boys. Oh.
I'll have a cop hat then.
Yeah. See, for example, you have your Last Podcast hat and you got your Fox News hat. You see what I say? You wear a couple of hats.
Oh, you know what? I like to say socks.
You like to say socks?
Yeah.
That guy wears a lot of different socks.
I wear many socks.
I wear many socks. Yeah. I'm on six different podcasts, and I wear a different hat for each podcast that I'm on.
Right.
You know, and Henry, he has his pretty face hat and his now no longer in use A to Z hat.
In UK, it is still in use, and the Heroes Reborn hat is also just sitting in a closet, and it is waiting for Netflix to ask for me to don the Heroes Reborn hat again.
Stew. Is that stew?
But that's the thing. Even if we're wearing different hats, we're still basically the same person.
Right.
And magical models are much the same way.
It's putting on a costume to help you do something. It's like a tool. It's a specific thing. And then sometimes I use glasses, too, because sometimes, like, if you want to pretend like you're awake at a meeting, you could put all those glasses on that have got the eyeballs.
Oh, absolutely. But literally, I mean, this is exactly what Donald Trump did.
Yeah.
He put on that dumb hat, and he's like, I'm president now, make America great again, Cap. And this is really what he went through.
Yeah, I mean, he put on a literal hat.
But I'm actually starting to think that Donald Trump is some level of magician.
Absolutely believe he is.
He is doing some shit right now. He's not a good magician. He's being a naughty magician, and I wish he'd stop. But I think that he is being very, very powerful right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is doing Jedi mind trick type of stuff. Like the whole hand motions, the way he talks. Like this guy, he's into some dark shit. He's right. Absolutely.
He's probably hanging out in, with the demons in that rejected shed of yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love this shed. It's fabulous. It's the best shed I've ever seen. It's great. I won't have anybody say anything different. It's the best shed. And all these demons right here, they're doing hard work. It's fabulous.
Well, I mean, it was more made out of flesh and blood vessels and, you know,
just
fire.
It's getting better and better, man.
It's a long story. Cool. It's a long story.
All right, let's get back.
I mean, it's gone now.
Okay.
But anyways, now. Let's go through magical models. Magical models, you know, you wear whichever hat is best for the task at hand.
Pick a hat.
And you pick a hat, so magical models are much the same way. The oldest magical model, and the one traditional magicians use most, is the spirit model. This model is dependent on the other worlds being real, as in, you can summon the demon Adramelic and bend him to your will. Yeah, you know how you summon Adramelic.
Hey, come now to hang out with me.
Or you can summon the Egyptian god Horus and ask him for a favor.
But then you have to believe that these other realms are real and these entities are real and that you can go and talk to them and then they hang out in the sky somewhere.
Can I just give Horus a compliment and not bother him?
Really, if you're bringing him in, then you're already kind of bothering him.
I tell you what, if you go to Ben Kingsley and he's sitting in the airport and he's on his phone, even if you want to tell him you thought he was the best Indian there's ever been and you've met real Indians.
Yeah.
He will be kind of upset because you're bothering him. He's on the phone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But with the rise of science in the 18th century, we see the first manifestation of the energy model. See, for centuries, millennia, it's just been spiritual. But in the 18th century, you start seeing something new, the energy.
Mm-hmm.
The energy model involves the manipulation of the subtle energies of the universe, such as what the Nazis tried to do with Vril energy.
So it's like Vril energy, Orgon energy, with prana, like all of that kind of stuff that's like, you know, essential life energy. People talk about chi. Like that is where that model came from, is that there is energy flowing at the universe and where magical acts are done through harnessing that energy or releasing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bowie was really into the energy magic as well.
Cocaine is what he meant. That was his sort of manifestation.
Cocaine, peppers, milk. Energies. That's going to give you energy.
Frequency. Think about that. Like radio.
Totally.
Hey, good work, Kissel.
Thank you.
You're going to pass the learning comprehension test for this episode.
I might. I smoked a lot of weed before class. I'm into it. I was actually watching a great documentary on the Carter family, and the first radio, there was just a tin can with a couple of sticks in it, and they would just like throw the waves out there, and people would just randomly find them. It wasn't like a radio.
Yeah.
It was just a bucket.
Yeah, anyway.
Incredibly fascinating.
Thank you so much.
Now, after the energy model came the psychology model, which was popularized by Freud and Carl Jung. This transported demons and angels and such from the other world to the inner world of the unconscious mind. This is my go-to a lot of time. I usually work in the psychology model. And I bring therapy into it as well. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can use the psychology model in chaos.
The psychology model is the model that a lot of people use in order to explain to people that will imagine they will find you completely insane if you say that you talked to Horus last night during a meditation session. It's like, that's the other thing. So psychology model is about taking some of the magic away from it and saying it's about what is... It's symbols. They're that the things that were described as actual entities are just symbols, and we can learn them mostly to learn about ourself and our nature within the universe.
Yeah. Austin Spare, that we talked about in the last episode, one of his big things was the psychology model. Something that I mentioned earlier was the keepers at the silent gates of memory, which that is actual manifestations of certain parts of your subconscious that you can actually travel to within your brain and communicate with. Like Austin Spare used to communicate with his subconscious through automatic writing, and he could figure shit out about himself that way, or he could communicate that way.
But then Spare made it practical by developing sigil magic. About the whole point is then he took it from the step of, because the psychology model can then be compared to the right hand path kind of stuff where it's about inner transformation. Mm. Austin Spare was like, but then you can use it to get pussy by doing this thing. Yes.
Yeah. It seems to be the end game for the majority of these people.
Well, I mean,
a lot of the time. They're nerds. They cannot talk. They cannot flirt. If they were charming, they would not have started doing this stuff. They would have been in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. Now, the most recent model that Phil Hine talks about in Condensed Chaos, and remember that Condensed Chaos was written in 1995, is what Phil Hine calls the cybernetic model.
Ooh.
And this is a deeply rooted in chaos theory and is mostly information based. Like, this is something like where you actually, you take things from the internet. You take things from like just different, like how would you describe the cybernetic model, Henry? Because this is the one that kind of makes me a little confused.
No, this is the one that that basically folds quantum mechanics into magic. The idea is that this is all about understanding. Like, it's my view of the idea is that we're living in a hologram universe, and basically you can use your brain to jump into the DOS programming of the universe and change shit for yourself.
Okay,
like change the mod settings. Like, you can go in and like make everybody got big heads, like the Bill Clinton head used to have in NBA Jams.
Oh, yeah, that's a great game. And I loved Bill Clinton with his big old head. I thought about it like soup. You know, condensed soup, you got to add a little water.
You're just hungry.
I am. But you got to add a little water, and then you get a perfect consistency.
Yeah.
So you are the water.
Like, this is how Phil Hine describes these sorts of things. It is a set of techniques for rousing a neurological storm in the brain, which brings about microscopic fluctuations in the universe, which lead eventually to macroscopic changes in accordance with the magician's intent.
Change your mind, change the universe.
And those last three words are very important to chaos magic, no matter what system you decide to use. The magician's intent. Henry, do you want to go more into intent? Because I think you really got a good understanding on this.
What it's about, you have to make a statement of a very clear and specific thing of what you want from the universe, and it has to be very specific, and it has to be, it's just like, it is my will that I will, like, you know, I've done that before. I wrote, it is my will to book Heroes Reborn. I literally, right, like, wrote it, and I did it out, and you aim it, and that's a part of it. The idea is that you're supposed to then use ritual, no matter what it is, using different models in order to convince yourself that you're actually affecting change, and then your brain, if you truly do believe, can hack into the universe's code and change it for you. They can literally go this.
It is my will to take Sean Hannity's job.
Yeah.
See?
And yes. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. You know, when you say that, it is my will, then you have to proactively seek that will out.
That's right? The idea. And that's what they talk about a lot of times. It's like, you can't just say it and go out of the universe. You have to basically also increase your probability that your will work by charging yourself, by putting yourself in a position where it's like, I can't just say I'm going to book Heroes Reborn and be sitting in a 7-Eleven in Indiana not doing anything. I have already be on the road towards doing it, and because the momentum is what allows you to push yourself. What they say is push the boundaries of achievable reality.
Right.
And so it's just making room for what is possible.
Right.
Within your universe.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And you also, it's very important to make it very simple. Because if you have a simple statement of intent, it lets you observe results. Because if you make something that's a little more, if you do something that's like, okay, like, I want to, it is my will to be better at parties, that's pretty nebulous. Like, you can't necessarily, like, you can't actually achieve, you can't look at that result as either you are or you're not.
You could lose your hands in an accident and have a fun story when you go to a party. So you have to be like, yeah, no hands, you know, and like, yeah, open up the dips and stuff. I can't scoop.
Yeah.
Can't scoop them.
It's more like, it is my will to make a friend at a party, you know, and that's a very simple thing, but it is, like, that's just a simple sort of thing, but that is also, something that is achievable. You can see that, totally. Like, I did this.
And if that is your will, if you want to make a friend at a party, I have some advice here for you. Drink all the booze and just let people know what you think. No way that's going to go horribly wrong.
Also, never tell anybody it was your statement of intent that night to make a friend at a party.
Creepy.
You cannot go at someone and be like, I intended to make a friend tonight. It is at a party, is it not? I can tell by the various favors.
Well, I'll go find you one that isn't me. Okay, bye.
Now, let's go back to our Batman example. Let's say you're a murder police. Let's say you're a homicide detective. You got a body come up.
Man, murder police is such a cooler name than homicide detective.
It's from The Wire. That's what they call themselves.
Nice.
Murder police. Now, you have this body come up. You got no clues. You got no witnesses. You got nothing but dead ends no matter where you go.
Love that show, 48 Hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's great show.
So good.
So good. So if you would like to use chaos magic to solve this murder, your statement of intent could be,
I want to invoke Batman so I can solve the murder case.
You want to invoke Batman?
Yeah, absolutely. My son Henry Thomas is gay. I can tell because he loves Phantom of the Opera. I want to invoke Batman to scare my son back into being straight.
Oh, you're playing your father right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, if you perform the ritual and all of a sudden you're seeing clues that you missed before and you're making connections that lead to the arrest of the murder suspect, then you have achieved your statement of intent. And sure. You can even use real life people if you want to. Like, you can invoke Iggy Pop to become a more confident performer, or Steve McQueen if you got to win a street fight that you got coming up.
Right. I mean, it does seem like it could be a risky venture for the cops. I mean, I think this is when they start planting cocaine on people.
That's you know, problem.
Like, I will that you have cocaine. They're just like, put it on him, Jono.
Wow, that really worked. I got some real results on that.
Real results.
Now, let's wrap up this whole thing with a deeper explanation of what is probably the simplest of techniques that you can use once you get your very first statement of intent. Sigils.
Okay.
Now, what's important is on a day-to-day level, before you get into sigils, remember, on a day-to-day, you should be meditating, keeping a journal, keeping a dream journal, talking about coincidences, marking synchronicities, looking at your life. That's kind of what you have to get yourself into, a constant mindset of magic. Right. And what they talk about with Phil Hine talks about, which is letting it's not getting magical, it's letting magic in. Mm-hmm. If you'll start viewing it, start believing it all the time, start to believe that there's no such thing as coincidence, start to playing with it, play with little day-to-day things, and then you can really start doing sigil magic.
Like the radio waves.
Yeah.
We had to let them Kissel. In. They've been You've here the whole this. Time. And then the Carter family started singing weird tinny music. And the radio and we weird. Found the radio waves.
Today's other sponsor for Last Podcast on the Left, ooh, you guessed it, it's AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. AdamandEve.com. Go there and use the code LEFT at checkout. That's LEFT at AdamandEve.com. Now, if you'll remember, way at the beginning of this episode, and actually about halfway through this one, we mentioned a guy named Austin Spare. And as we talked before, Austin Spare was a guy that put together the whole system of sigil magic. And what a sigil is created when one expresses their will or desire in a sentence, then creates a single graphic symbol out of the letters without repeating any of them. In other words, one S is enough.
And you can also take your, what I've also, you can do is you can take your will of intent, what you want, and you can make an anagram of it that is a nonsense chant.
Yeah.
That you can also use.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Spare believed was that these sorts of things, these sigils, these sorts of anagrams and chants, what he believed is that the things that we create ourselves are just as, if not more valid, than the symbols one might find in grimoires or the symbols created by people who claim themselves to be high magicians just because they decided that's who they are. Like, they just decided, I'm a high magician. I know what the fuck I'm doing. Here, use this sigil.
Yeah. Well, I'm a basketball player. Let me on there, Brooklyn Nets. No, no, I got the gums and I got the, oh, LeBron James.
I mean, is it similar to marketing? You know, I'm thinking like the Starbucks symbol.
Yeah.
Is that a sigil to some degree of the person who created that company?
Definitely. I believe that's a whole other, if we want to get into psycho symbology of trademark brands and how they use it to hypnotize us, that is a very big topic, and that is true. If you want to talk about magic done on a government basis, look at 9/11. Look at things that are promoted all the time, that are pumped on your throat, like literally mantras in order to fucking spin your mind. Not unlike anything that you would have – you've never done anything like this on Fox News. Ben.
No, no point. No, I did describe the United States as a business, and our major export is the brand, and that's totally correct.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that we have is the idea of what we are, and we're not living up to that idea very well.
No, we're doing really badly. But what Henry's saying with 9/11 is that the chant is saying 9/11 over and over.
Sure, right.
It's like mentioning the words 9/11 as many times as you possibly can. It's all psyops. It's all very, you know, like we said, the government's been using shit forever. Or at least pretty much since the 50s and 60s.
I mean, and households use it as well. A house with a crest, for example. I mean,
definitely. Aren't these,
anyway, that's a whole nother episode. We'll have to get into that stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. Wonderful. Yeah, and Spare's reasoning was that if the purpose of magic is to exert one's will into the world, then it would follow that the symbols that come from within are the most powerful and efficient way to do so. That if you take what is within you, and if you really want to exert your own will, then what you create is going to be the best way to do that. And Spare said that when the mind was in what he called a void or open state, which could be achieved through meditation, exhaustion, or the peak of sexual ecstasy.
I'm having one.
Uh-oh. Fuck!
He said that magical sigils could be used to send commands to the subconscious. That, for example, the masturbation sigil.
That is a very common way of what they call firing a sigil. So what you do is you basically
they call it a firing sigil?
It's called firing a sigil.
Fire it out there, brother.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Let me just put it on your eyebrows. It looks like I made you a streusel.
Seems like... You just want to give me a facial, it seems like.
No, with him firing a magical sigil.
Oh, I see.
You should be thinking about me. And it's like, it's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just got an idea.
All right, do not go there.
But the idea is that you're supposed to charge a sigil by keeping around your house. There's different ways to do it. You put it on your mirror in the bathroom. You put it in your wallet. You put it in various places. What thing that Phil Hine likes to talk about that what makes really effective for him is that you doodle it when you got nothing else going on. If you're sitting someplace and you doodle it, and you just kind of keep going, keep thinking about it. And then when you're ready to fire it, you look for an opportune time. And then essentially, you could kill a chicken, and like you could do one of those things. You could stab a horse in the neck. I'm not promoting it.
No, I like a horse.
I love horses.
Kill a chicken, though. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares about a chicken? But you don't fuck with horses.
You could fucking gut a pig and think about it if that's what you want to do. Sure. Don't kill people. We can't say that on this podcast.
No, don't.
No,
do it.
And we say actively
it's very powerful,
do not kill
but don't
people.
Do it. It's very, you don't ever do that. but the most equivalent is to come, and when you come, you fire it. You imagine the symbol in your head, and then you shoot it out into the universe.
Well, what if when you do that, you accidentally doodled a dick because you always doodle dicks, and then you thought of a dick when you came.
That's it. Then you're a homosexual.
Oh, I see.
There's no coming back from that, man.
No, answers. You're done now. But no, it's very interesting. But you know what he said is like what you can also do is he said there are other ways to do it is coughing, farting, or sneezing.
You can fart on the sigil?
You can fart out a sigil, and that it's just as powerful as coming.
Yeah.
But if you're a sigil, that's a rough life. Yeah. No matter what, like the best case scenario is getting coughed on, I think.
And that's the thing, is that once you have that, once you fire out that sigil into the universe, forget about it. Don't think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the problem is you're thinking about it right now. You know, you're thinking about it. Don't think about it.
Don't think about it.
Well, I think if you do think about it, then it gives you a much higher chance of mentioning that you farted on a piece of paper in the office. And so you do want to forget that.
Yeah, you remove it from your conscious awareness. It kind of gets planted into your subconscious. It grows in your subconscious mind, and when ripe, the commands would manifest themselves in the world of conscious reality, achieving the magician's initial intent.
Cool.
You can also use sigils as a conscious tool, something to summon when you need it. For example, my very first sigil was formed from the sentence, I want to get out of my own head, meaning I had a problem living in my own thoughts without truly experiencing anything that was happening around me.
Right.
However, while the sigil was formed of, I want to get out of my own head, the statement of intent was, I want to use sigil magic to get out of my own head. It's a small difference, but it's an important one.
For anybody else that actually wants to try this thing, I would not do something as broad as get out of my own head. I feel like that end up done, that then you're opening gates to a bunch of shit. It's a lot of stuff coming in there.
Oh, dude, it fucked me up real bad.
You have to do it in a very small level. It's literally shit like I'm not gonna be in traffic on the way to work today. Like literally, it's like you start it real, real small. And a big thing to remember is the qualities of chaos, which I think I wanted to bring up last time, which they talk about in the condensed chaos. It's really interesting. You have to remember before you do any of this stuff is chaos stands for confidence, honor, attentiveness, organization, and sensitivity. And the big thing in there is honor. And a part of what he talks about with with chaos magic is that if you say stuff like, I'm going to be a place, you got to go there. If you promise somebody, if you promise something to somebody, you got to do it. Because the whole point is that as a magician, your word and your thought is supposed to mean something to the universe. And your sigils are not going to work if you're a liar. You're not going to work because the idea is that your word has to be your bond, and that has to mean – it has to actually mean it. So when you say something, you have to mean it, because that's the only way that this kind of process is going to work.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And then there are hyper-sigils,
ooh,
which incorporate actual stories, plot, and characters that you create yourself. –
This is also called pathworks.
Yeah.
That you could talk about. So it's like the idea is that you create a whole scenario, like a magical thing where you're going to learn something about yourself or get something by adopting, like literally playing out a story. Like it's like acting. It's like literally going in and doing a thing in a model. And Grant Morrison does it all the time.
Yeah, Grant Morrison. Mm. And his biggest one was The Invisibles. The Invisibles was actually a 6-year-long fourth dimensional hyper sigil that he used to affect change within his own life. And if you believe him, it worked, but he also almost died doing it.
Now, he also only specifically wears Oakleys inside.
Yeah, it's a kind of a bizarre thing that he does there. Yeah. And that's the comic book, The Invisibles.
Yeah, the comic book, The Invisibles, is that what he says is that he actually put himself into The Invisibles. He put himself into the comic book in the form of a character named King Mob.
Oh.
And he said that when he wrote King Mob meeting a certain type of woman, he'd go out and he'd meet that same type of woman. You know, that sort of thing. But he also, in one part of the series, when he gave King Mob, you know, King Mob got captured, you know, and he was being tortured. When that happened to King Mob, Grant Morrison also got extremely sick with this really weird, rare disease, and he almost died. He came extremely close to dying.
Yes.
So it works both ways. Like, what he put the character through, he also found it kind of happened to him in real life. Like, there was some correspondence. And, you know, who knows if that was just coincidence, and who knows if that was just his, you know, mind really making that. But that's the thing, is that his mind, even if it was just his mind making that happen, he made it happen.
And Stephen King, when he was writing It, he turned into a spider.
It's really weird. And I thank God that he threw out that fucking book he was writing, Old Man Gets Hit by Van.
Oh, my God. I know. It was a very clear premise, but truly horrific.
Yeah. And by the way, Grant Morrison's book, Super Gods, is a great introduction to all of this stuff. If you're already into superheroes and want to see examples of what can be done with chaos magic, then you can read Super Gods, because he doesn't get really into it like Phil Hine does in Condensed Chaos. He just kind of says, like, yeah, I use this, I did this sort of thing, and it sort of whets your appetite for all.
But it's also, if you're into superheroes, this Marcus uses a lot of examples of superheroes, which I am not particularly very into. I don't really care about superheroes, but they are a very convenient way to put as, like, a kind of folklore types that you can hang stuff on, that, like, you can put qualities, you can attribute qualities to them that help you in these kind of rituals. But it really, it's up to anything. It can be anything. It's like, a lot of times in my head, I imagine Hunter S. Thompson. It's like, I imagine him just because of what he meant to me from as a kid. Philip K. Dick, I have his face up is on my wall. Like, I look at Philip K. Dick's life all the time and the stuff he talks about, the Valis trilogy, and that's the kind of thing that feeds me.
I watch old Japanese death matches with Mick Foley and Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Those are actually amazing. There was one match where they had to dip, the loser got dipped into a bath of piranha. And I remember watching when I was 13, and they pulled the guy out right away because they are piranha.
Vicious.
And I was watching it when I was 13, I was like, they should have kept him in. And now at 34, I'm like, get out of there. Why would you put him in there in the first place?
Yeah. And, you know, and all this stuff, like we said, we're rank amateurs at all this type of stuff. Like, please read at least Condensed Chaos before you try any of this stuff yourself. All we've really done is give you a bit of a primer to make getting into this stuff just a little bit easier. And as always, just have fun with it.
Have fun with it.
Serious, you fucking idiot. Fucking release yourself.
Right. And you know what? I'm gonna get a little corny, but you can really do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the great thing. No matter what, you know, we're birthed into an environment that we have no control over, but in reality, you do.
Yeah.
You
make yourself happy. And you're allowed to be happy. You don't have to be stuck in any paradigm. You can just let it go. Anytime you feel like you're stuck, there's no marriage that's permanent. There's no life situation that's permanent. Just fucking get out of it.
And there
just
is this.
Drop it.
There's this massive misconception that somehow you have to be a miserable, starving, or maybe a starving artist if you want to be thin. I should be more of a starving artist. But, you know, like, so many young stand-up comedians, they go through this thing where they feel like they have to be miserable.
No.
Otherwise, they're not suffering for their art. You can just be happy as hell.
Yeah.
And do everything you want to do.
Yeah, totally, man.
We're happy.
I feel fine. I'm the happiest I've ever been.
I'm getting there.
Good, Marcus.
Oh, well, good. Thanks. Thanks, man.
Don't go to the demon house tonight.
No, I don't go there anymore. I got my horse.
I do kind of want to find directions to it.
Yeah?
I would love to go.
Yeah.
It's easy. Just follow the screaming.
Oh, I see.
And the dripping of brine from Marcus's fucking pickle mouth.
It is eerily silent.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, everybody. That's Chaos Magic.
Chaos Magic. Unbelievable, guys. Henry and Marcus, you guys are really getting a handle on this because, I mean, from the first episodes to these episodes, when it comes to this subject, you guys are really getting a good grasp on it. And it's very edutaining.
It is this is edutainment at its finest. You know what I want to do right before that you said that? I just want to give one standard. I'm having one.
Fuck.
Oh yeah, just to add to that.
I love it. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming out to the live show. It was yesterday. We had such a great time here.
Fantastic time.
It's the fourth Saturday of every month at the Creek in the Cave. Everyone is so unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so great. And we've got the next live show that we have coming up is Los Angeles. And by the way, we just released 50 more tickets. So you've been trying to get to the Los Angeles show, and if that show has been sold out, it has been sold out for a little while. I know a lot of people have been trying to get tickets to it, but we just released 50 more tickets to that. So go and check out, I think it's crestwestfield.com. But just, you know, type in Crest Westfield or go to cavecomedyradio.com and click on live events, and there'll be links to that.
Awesome.
And also, we've got we just sold out Glasgow, which is fucking amazing.
Oh my God.
The only UK show that we have left tickets for is at the London show, the very last show, the second London show, but those are going to sell out. Those are going to sell out definitely in the next month or two. So get those fucking tickets now. I can't believe that. The amount of support we're getting from the UK, I mean, hell, it's fucking June, or this is July, and the show's in October, and we've already sold out so many. Thank you guys so much.
Going back to Chaos Magic, we booked the venues, and, you know, it's up. It's almost like Field of Dreams.
Yeah,
if you
almost
build it.
Like it. I mean, we didn't sell the tickets the last time.
No.
But this time we did it.
We had more work to do.
Excuse me, Crest Westwood, not Crest Field.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Henry Loves You.
That's Marcus Parks on Twitter and Instagram, and Dr. Fantasty on Instagram for Henry. I'm on Twitter at Ben Kissel, and Ben Kissel 1 on Instagram.
That's
mostly
right.
Still just pictures of bagels, but getting there.
And go listen to my music show, Lucky Bone Show. You can only find it at mixcloud.com/Marcus Parks. You have to go there to listen to it. But yeah, I just released a new one a couple days ago, and it's a bit more subdued, but it's a good one.
Awesome. And check out the other Cave Comedy Radio shows, Roundtable of Gentlemen, Page 7, Sex and Other Human Activities, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, which, by the way, we moved over to iTunes on News and Politics, and we are crushing. We are so close to beating Glenn Beck.
Almost.
We're gonna get Beckerhead.
Can't
wait.
Did you just call him Beckerhead?
Beckerhead.
Beckerhead.
He's gone. The Beckerhead's gone.
I like it.
His time has come and gone.
It is. It has. And if you guys, of course, thank you so much for giving to our Patreon. Of course, if you want to give to us, patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left is where you go to just give however much you feel we deserve, if you feel we deserve anything at all. But that's where you go for it.
Yes.
And thank you to everybody who's given so far.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
And Heil Geen.
Hail me. In my universe, I made you.
Oh, and Magustalations. And Marcus, some people were wondering what it means.
Magustalations? It means congratulations for liking us.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.